Here. Perry.
Here.
King.
Yes.
Robbins.
Here.
Stuber.
Here.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And we invite you to remain standing if you choose while we pray. Lord, we thank you for your wisdom. We thank you, Father, that as we have entered this new year, Father, let this be a banner year for the village of Tolono, for our residents, for our businesses, for our public entities, Father. We thank you for wisdom for our residents and everyone in this community on how they can best help serve the village of Tolono and each other. In Jesus' name, amen.
We have some public comments. All right, it's all you, my friend.
Do I need a microphone?
No.
Okay.
I mean, there's one down there, so if you talk loud enough, it'll pick up.
I got a big enough voice, we'll get her covered. I want to address the agenda item on the ordinance lowering the speed limit throughout the village. I understand, as you explained to me before the meeting, that this is bringing back to life some ordinance from before some of these people were born.
Tony, say 1970 something?
Yeah, okay.
Or John, I'm sorry, John.
The speed limits that are posted around town right now, I mean, if you want to change the speed limit around the park or places where there's going to be a lot of kids, that makes sense. But to simply lower the speed limit throughout the village, which is the way this is worded, in response to the complaints, I assume in response to the complaints that have been being posted online about a certain couple, four or five cars racing around town, there is no reasonable history of changing laws affecting the behavior of people who are breaking the laws. If you tell me it's illegal to spit on the sidewalk, and I've never spit on the sidewalk, that's not a big deal. If it's been illegal to spit on the sidewalk and you raise the fine from $5 to $10, but you're not enforcing it, I'm still going to spit on the sidewalk. But not to mention the fact that several of the people who were the loudest voicing complaints about people driving fast in the village are the ones that routinely pass me when I'm coming home from work doing 70 on 45 in a 55 zone. Speed limits are arbitrary. People don't enforce them, so people don't follow them. You want people to follow them? Instead of changing them, how about we start enforcing them? You know, how about we figure out a way? I don't know what's legal, but I mean, if you have somebody that's routinely speeding through a certain neighborhood, you put up a trail cam, catch who's doing it, I don't know if you can. But to simply make a law arbitrarily limiting all the law-abiding people of the town to hopefully convince people who aren't following the laws now to follow the laws is counterintuitive. It flies in the face of common sense and reason. And common sense and reason is the reason I moved to a small town in the first place, because we used to have common sense and reason in the small towns. This proposal makes no sense to me at all. And I guess I'm done, because I'm just going to start repeating myself.
Thanks, Danny. No, you didn't sign my list. What do you want to talk
about that or about anything?
Well, you're here.
So, I mean, I called you about the Esda shed. I know that in the past, Rose was open to selling that, and I, as a commercial real estate broker, was originally approached as a potential to list some of the property and help you dispose of property for the village, which did not come to fruition, which is fine, but there are people that are asking about it and if it's available. And nobody's said anything hard numbers-wise because I told I had to check. But I wanted to see where the village was on that because opportunity, I think, for the village to dispose of an asset that they're not using, or to repurpose it and use it for something more than it is.
I think the last time we talked about it, the reason why we didn't list it was the board wanted to just tear it down and make it into a green space.
Sure.
So maybe
I don't
put a Village of Tolono sign there, or
I don't know that that would be a good use of that space, a green space. And it's not, there's not a good use of it for anything, really. I mean, the guy next door should own it.
Yeah, true.
Otherwise, you know, you're going to expend resources for the village to tear it down and turn it into green space rather than
upkeep it.
And upkeep it rather than dispose of it and let someone else maintain it, you know.
I think the big fear is it's an eyesore, and if anybody did buy it, that would be the stipulations we put on it. It'd have to be either the metal redone, or I don't know if you can repaint it, or...
Sure, and we have to look into the legalities of doing that, but you can, under certain contingencies, you know, sell property. So we'd have to look into how much liberty you could take with something like that.
And I don't know how much you can say, but what would your person be interested in putting in there?
Well, currently he was asking if it would, if there's a water and sewer taps there as well, so that he could put like an office in and then make it basically a flex space for contractor storage. He lives out Sedora's Isdale area, but he works a lot in Champaign-Urbana, and he's got, you know, contractor equipment, truck and supplies and stuff like that. Is the particular person that I'm inquiring for.
And there's no water in that building or sewer in that building.
Right.
But the building next to it has water. I can't remember if it has sewer or not. I don't think it has sewer, but it has water.
So where does the water go?
Great question.
I know.
I'm pretty sure, because we talked to them and he has water, but there's no sewer over there. So.
Okay.
And to get sewer to that location would be very tricky, because we either have to go under 45 or we have to go under the railroad tracks. And the railroad will throw a fit. I don't know how the water got there. Truthfully, I don't know the route that the water takes to get over there.
So if water is there, does that other shed have a drain?
I don't know. I've never been in it. I talked to the owner of it, and he said there's water in it.
Oh, okay.
But
All right.
He might have used it to fill up his trucks. He was a contractor. So
yeah.
To fill
yeah,
up.
That's true.
You know, what he needed and stuff, wash trucks down, and
okay.
I don't know where the water went.
A cost-benefit situation for you guys and ladies to determine, you know, if making it a usable space and selling it, or selling it as is with the intent that you would make it relatively easy to make it a usable space for someone in that light.
And we would have to research what it would take to get a sewer there, too, because if it costs us $50,000 to run a sewer line to one building, we would never recoup our, I mean, it would take us 30 years to recoup our fees. Cost.
Makes sense.
And by that time, it's time to put a new sewer line in, because it's, you know, out of date or whatever.
Right.
So that's the problems with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the biggest fear, and I'm kind of speaking, you guys are welcome to correct me, is someone gets it and they don't. It just continues to be an eyesore.
Sure. And I don't know if this guy, you know, how serious he is, but he's looking for a space, and if he were to get it, I can speak to his character in saying, I feel confident in saying that, you know, he would redo the building and make it nice.
Because I also had a guy reach out to me, too, and he wants to store cars in there.
Yeah.
He's an antique car guy,
mm-hmm.
and he offered to repaint it and put Unity on it, the Unity Rockets. And
yeah.
Kind of a big Unity thing.
I think either
it,
option would be great.
So it's a poor decision. If you guys still want to tear it down, make it into a green space, that's fine. But there are things that go along with that. We're going to have to maintain it. And I would almost guarantee that we'll have a semi, what do they call them, the cabs, sitting. We'll have one of those Bobcats sitting there. And we'll have to shoo that off as soon as we do it, because they park at the space right next to there that's FS's.
That would be our property.
That would be our property, and we would have to constantly be shooing them away.
We
here's a,
be able to tell it whenever.
Just a follow-up question.
At their expense.
Is there any, like the MTD, is it ever coming down our way? Because
I hope not.
If it did and you made that a green space, it would be a great bus stop.
It would raise our taxes like a lot.
It would, okay, if you were gonna go the green space route, I was thinking of ideas.
There are plans for some rural transportation coming down this way.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking 10, 20 years down the road.
Sure.
They're doing a big study and how to get public transportation to the rural areas. So, but as of right now.
Just put a bike path in by the railroad.
Would love to. I would absolutely love to do that. I've talked to the Champaign County Forest Service about it a little bit because they put the other bike path in.
Mm-hmm.
But what comes with that is someone's got to maintain it, and that's what they're having a problem with, the bike path they put in that goes to St. Joe's. Who maintains it now?
Right.
I mean, we know the Champaign Park or the Forest District, they don't have the money to keep the maintenance up on it.
That's because nobody passed that tax increase, which was silly.
So
anyway.
But no, so that's kind of where we're at on it. I mean, the board's always open to ideas because it's not tore down yet.
Yeah.
We do have a new guy starting, and that's what we're kind of talking about a little bit. The new guy that we have starting to run the maintenance department, which we're going to vote on tonight, he has the ability to tear it down. So we can actually tear it down in-house now.
Yeah.
But it takes us back to the point of now we got to maintain this spot, and the rocks on that spot are deep. It's got a lot of rock poured in there. I don't know how many tons of rock they poured into there. But it's, and you walk on it, you dig down pretty deep. So, and it's been, when you walk in, you can smell the gas smell and diesel, and I don't know what it was before.
Yeah, and you're talking, you know, environmental study to turn it into a true green space.
Yeah.
I mean, the environmental study alone is going to have to probably at least go phase two, which is going to be, you know, between $3,000 and $5,000.
Yeah, so there's a lot that we have to think about before we do it. But getting the sewer, if there's not a sewer line already over there, and I don't think there is, I don't foresee the village putting a sewer line down there unless there's nothing on that side of the track, nothing that runs all the way down that side to pay us to put a sewer line there either.
Okay.
Unless we decide to run it out to 900, that's an expensive run. And there's
well,
no
you gotta run it down
thing.
To 700 after tonight.
Well, 7 goes that way, 9 goes to Filo Road, because we have property over on the other side of Filo Road.
Yeah.
But, so, any comments, questions, concerns?
For your concern, what streets specifically are you talking about that we should not lower?
I don't believe that Holden or Main should be lowered. Like I said, residential streets that don't connect to anything don't concern me at all. You can make them 5 miles an hour for all I care.
Okay.
But your primary routes through town, like I said, Holden, Main, Long, there's no way that they should be dropped. All that's going to do is serve to make it more difficult to get to work in the morning and get home in the afternoon.
So you think by reducing it 5 miles per hour would do it?
On residential streets?
Yeah.
It's not going to do it. Okay. Lowering the speed limit is not going to affect people who don't obey the speed limit.
Well, I understand.
Now, that's where I'm coming from.
But if we're going to ask our police officers to do more enforcement on it,
mm-hmm.
then if they're driving 25 miles an hour, which if you have driven 25 miles an hour down one of these streets, it's pretty fast. Or 30, I'd rather them be enforcement at 25 than at 30.
Like you said,
that's just a pretty big difference in general.
I'm not opposed at all to the village in conjunction with the police force lowering the speed limit on certain roads in certain places where it's reasonable to do so. My objection was village wide, which is what it says in the agenda.
Correct.
And village wide includes Route 45, it includes Main Street, and includes
we can't do anything in Route 45.
Okay.
That's Idaho. That's
Okay.
It's just in the village streets.
Yeah, this is village streets. We can't do 45 at all.
Okay. Like I said, I just, a blanket approach of, it's kind of knee jerk. Well, people are driving too fast, or people are exceeding the speed limit, let's lower the speed limit. It doesn't make sense. If what you're looking at is specifically lowering the speed limit because 35 feels too fast on a residential street, that makes sense to me. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
My objection was simply the generic, let's lower the speed limit throughout the village.
Well, we've looked at it a lot too. You're talking about Main and some of the main corridors going through. The problem is there's no sidewalks. Like if you come down Austin, there's no sidewalks at all. That's 30 miles an hour. We have a boatload of kids riding bikes and stuff, and I watch how a kid hasn't been hit or ran over.
Okay.
I mean, it's been that's my fear with some of those long stretches, because people don't drive 30, they're going to be doing 35 because it's a long, good stretch. And
I'll be perfectly honest with you, I don't ever remember reaching 30 on a village street. I just don't.
And that's what we're looking at, the 25, and then like downtown, hopefully the meeting tomorrow, there's a meeting tomorrow if you want to come to that,
okay.
At 6 o'clock, right?
Yeah.
6 o'clock. And it'll be at the community building, at the township building across from the bank. And there,
okay.
The business owners are invited to come to it, and we're going to talk about downtown and some renovation ideas with downtown.
Okay.
And, but I would like to revitalize the downtown. We've got a lot of interesting projects right now coming up. The zoning and planning board have done amazing stuff, and then we've got an investor that wants to do some stuff too. He's wanting to do like reconvert the village's green space, which is a parking lot. It's not really a green space; it's a parking lot. But he has some really great ideas for that. He's going to give a presentation. He's from here, but he lives in New York now. But he's got the money and the investments to come in and revitalize that space and make it into something, make it into like an area that people can actually come and hang out and different things. So,
who's this man?
We'll find out tomorrow.
Okay.
I'll have to look at my phone.
It's top secret.
It's not top secret. I just can't remember.
but no, like to finish up with your question. If the goal is, I don't even know whether to call him Robert Murphy or village president, whatever. If the goal is that we got a lot of kids riding bicycles, that makes sense to me.
Yeah.
You know, let's go ahead and, you know.
I think that was the majority issue, that it was, we have a lot of streets that don't have sidewalks,
mm-hmm.
and those streets are not like the best shape in the world.
No.
So the cars aren't driving the full length anyways, but when kids are walking down the streets, I mean, I drove 25 and then I drove 30 just to see what
the differences.
That's a huge difference when somebody's walking on the street. And
okay.
I noticed it a lot, just even on Halloween, where kids are walking down the street and people aren't even paying attention to them. So you do have a lot of kids that ride their bikes to Casey's or Dollar General or, you know, just around the places,
mm-hmm.
and there's not a lot of sidewalks, and people are flying down those streets, and that's our biggest thing, is the safety of our kids.
That actually makes some sense. That's why I come in here, just so you know, you're kind of new. I don't generally come in here just to throw a fit. I want to be part of the discussion.
No, I'm just kidding. Well, in Rocket Road, the Rocket Road curve is a perfect example.
Mm.
You can't do 30 on that. We've had people try, and they usually end up in someone's backyard over there on Bryce.
You shouldn't. You shouldn't try.
No, you shouldn't try. But we've had people try.
Yeah, if you're a professional driver in a prepared car, maybe, but.
So, like that curve, we're going to reduce it to 15, which is kind of already, we have signs already now out there,
mm-hmm.
but we're actually going to make it official. It's 15, and kind of to slow people down when they're coming up through there. And like I said, Main Street, or downtown is going to be 15. Around the park, we're going to slow down to 20. I mean, it's not so bad at the new park, but the park on my side of town.
I don't know where you live.
The same side of town as you.
Oh,
and, but
West Side Park?
Yeah, so people dart out between those trees and stuff. and it gets.
Yeah, I'm gonna agree with you there. 30's way too fast going down beside the park.
Exactly, and you don't see them until they're like right there.
Yeah.
Today, driving up here with the fog and everything.
There's a lot of kids play ball out there.
So that's kind of where we're at, the thought process behind it.
Okay. I've actually changed my mind. Y'all put a lot more thought into this than I really expected.
And did you actually look at the ordinance?
No, I can't find ordinances.
Oh.
I've tried your search.
If you look at the new ordinance, there's a lot of thought that was put into it, and nice, pretty diagrams.
You haven't made it public yet.
Oh, we haven't made it public yet. Never mind, it's not public yet.
Yeah.
I bet Mark's got a copy that you can look at.
I think we've got extra copies.
And you can look at it. You'll
the ordinance and the parking stuff and the driving speed stuff.
Yes, please. And I mean, there's a lot of thought. Justin spent a lot of time on it too, going out. And
thank you.
So. All right. I'm gonna move forward a little bit. We don't have any.
I'll
engineering.
Love your dinner.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
So engineering stuff. Any updates? Nothing. I did talk to them last week about maps. We had some sewer issues, things, and it would have been nice to have the map stuff done. So I've got them kind of moving slowly forward on getting that maps populated. Public Works, I spent half the day with the guy that we're going to vote on down here in the consent agenda, Scott. I really like him. We drove around, we looked at different places here in town, the dump. He's really made me happy because he had the same ideas with the dump that I did, and he's like, "Well, this is how we do it here, and this is what we do." And I'm like, "That's what I want." Like, actually making it more accessible and different things, and cleaning it up, and also we looked at the Ezra shed and the different things he has. He's gonna have to spend some time on before he can start doing locates for us. He's gonna have to spend some time actually look at the maps and different things, and we're gonna approach Russell and see if Russell will come in and maybe help him a little bit, get him going. So that's kind of the questions on that. Police department, what you got for us?
Nothing.
Perfect.
I mean, if you have questions, I mean, it's kind of business as normal.
Cool. We could not get the new guy into the January class, unfortunately.
Nope.
So it'll be May. He's got a slot in the May class.
Yes.
But we were just trying to slide him into the January class. And
I was told it's not like a one for one. If you move one, then you put another one in. So unfortunately, that didn't work out.
So we tried.
We do have Officer Ghana is on the streets. He is patrolling, so we are up to 3 full-time
officers.
And
he's back on. He's on his own, though. Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. He was.
I know we were shadowing him a little bit.
John for a while, and for a couple weeks, and so he is out there. So we are,
cool,
at least at this point, doing the best that we can.
Awesomeness.
So I do have a question regarding speed. We didn't issue any speeding tickets, but issued 2 written ones and 1 failure to reduce speed. Or is this just December?
That's probably November. I don't have December's done yet.
Okay.
I have to wait until I get the calls for service numbers from MACAD before I get everything done and give it to you guys.
Do you have other questions, Jerry?
But typically our traffic stops kind of correlate to our calls for service. If we're busy on other things, we have less time. And weather plays into that a little bit, too.
Do we have any issues for New Year's?
No, actually, it was John and I worked actually as far as anything super serious. Everything was pretty chill. There's, a few parties here and there, but nothing out of hand. A few fireworks at midnight, but nobody called in to complain, so.
Okay.
But, yeah, I mean, everything went pretty smooth.
Well, it's going to be in tomorrow's paper, but the health department, there's a story about Little Buford's in there, and the health department visiting them on New Year's Eve at 7 o'clock at night.
Sorry, in there.
our police did escort them, which I think is a smart thing.
Yeah, we were called, we were at, so. But everything went smoothly as far as that was concerned, there wasn't any issues. Wasn't like beer bottles getting thrown and fights in the parking lot. Everything went as smooth as it could.
And I know the liquor, I know through talking with Jeff, the owner, that the liquor commission did issue, came in to, and issued him 2 fines, but it's not been sent to us, so we don't know what they are. The only correspondence I've gotten at all on Little Buford's is when they got their tickets at the beginning of December-ish. And we put those in their file. That's the only, other than that, we've gotten no documentation on any of the court stuff. I know what you guys know from reading the newspaper. And I did talk to Julia a couple ago, a week or so ago, and she's just moving forward with the court stuff. So if the liquor stuff gets to us, then we'll deal with it then. So I guess, I don't know what it was for, just rumor and conjecture. It was not wearing a mask or something like that, but I don't know. So, any comments about that at all? Ideas? Thoughts?
Thanks.
Okay. Oh, good. Do you have something else? Anything else for Justin? Any questions?
No, thanks. Alright,
cool. Alright, board members, what do you got? No, I skipped treasurer, I'm sorry. Do you want to talk about treasurer stuff? Any questions about our budgets and what we got going on there? It's gonna be almost time to start working on a new budget.
That's true.
Well, I think once we get Scott here and get him started and going, he does his own budgets anyway, and he's used to doing spreadsheets and stuff, so that'll take care of that. And Justin probably knows kind of what he wants for next year.
A lot.
We probably are going to have to replace one of the maintenance trucks, the Matzel truck, maybe. We'll have to look at it. I drove it around Monday, and it looks really good on the outside. It really does look good on the outside. It drives okay, but it's well used on the inside. And it's not from abuse. It's a 2013, something like that.
7 years old, but
it's not bad. It's older than that. Actually, it might be even a 12. Because the two trucks, the two bigger trucks, are 16s. The 3500s.
Should get lots of years out of public works.
Should. But I don't know. But I'd like to start. That's something I want to work with.
Has that one ever had a plow on it?
Yeah.
Plows are hard.
They used
to
plow on it. But I don't think they plowed last year with it. They don't have a plow on it this year. They're just using the 3500s to plow. And then they have plows on the dump, or the big 5 tons, 2.5 tons trucks.
Did salt get figured out?
What's going on with that?
Still working on it.
They're missing a number or something.
No, I have contacted CMS, and they told me I have everything I need, and we keep calling Cargill, and they keep saying that we need a contract number, but we don't need a contract number because we're under the state of Illinois contract number, and we're just a line item number on there.
So we didn't have any salt?
We have salt, but we probably don't have enough salt to get us through.
What we have left is in the trucks.
Yeah, we don't have enough to get us through for winter. I know Woodworth was talking to the township, and we could probably borrow from them until we get it figured out. So we have a kind of a backup plan, but I'd like to get ours figured out since. So, now, board members, I'm sorry. Anything to add? Anything?
I like this new agenda layout.
Do too, a lot.
It's been a long time coming.
It has. So, anything else? Cool. All right, down to the consent agenda.
I would like to remove consent agenda item F, the ordinance for annexation of 315 Woodworth Drive, and place it into new business so the discussion may be had.
approve minutes of the December 9, 15, and 23, 2020 regular session board meeting. B, motion to approve minutes of the December 9, 15, and 23, 2020 executive session board meeting. C, motion to approve bills and warrants as presented. D, motion to approve 2020-1223 payroll. E, motion to approve water sewer usage bill report. G, motion to approve the hiring of Scott Arbuckle for the public works superintendent, being paid salary in the amount of $62,500 annually with a start date of January 11th, 2020 or sooner. H, that's, sorry, 2021. It's the first date. Motion to change the hiring terms of Jeff Evans in the public works department with an hourly pay being 21 an hour with benefits and the start date being December 15th, 2020.
Motion to approve the consent agenda. Second. Roll call.
Buffo.
Yes.
Perry.
Yes.
King.
Yes.
Robbins.
Yes.
Stuber.
Yes.
All right, now to old business. Approval of ordinance 2021-0-2, reducing the speed limit to 1. Okay, so we'll have a motion to table. Discussion with the MOU, fire safety we have work table out to. That's a placeholder. They went ahead and went forward with what they are doing with it. And then.
So can we take that off until they actually come in?
We can take it off. Exactly. I don't think they're gonna probably come.
C, we table because the estate hasn't got more of the information he needs.
I'm still waiting on stuff for that.
I was wondering why it wasn't in there.
I
mean, if you want to move forward on it, I can go ahead and just order a title search at our cost and get it done, but they're the ones asking for it, so traditionally you probably expect them to provide it.
I think that would make sense to have the expense on them. It's not costing us anything just to leave it on there. Discussion hiring a new real estate broker for 105 East Ag. I have not reached out to anybody on this one. Anybody have ideas of who they want to hire on that? I've had a couple suggestions of it. We can't hire you because you're on the board.
Mike Elliott's good.
Randy Hastings?
Hastings, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's like the king of Douglas County. I don't know how far up he comes, but he knows his stuff, for sure.
That was one of the suggestions that someone gave me.
He's amazing.
What about Rodney Swihart? They have an office here. Almost still does.
Rob Swihart does, yeah. Actually, I don't think works with them anymore. There's also Rhonda Sharp here in town, who is with Landmark Real Estate. And there's probably a couple others.
Does anybody have somebody they want to go? I mean, I can reach out to a couple people. I mean, as long as somebody lists it, then anybody can sell it.
So I think we need to make sure that the expectation is what we want it to be on the property first. Because if there's confusion as to what we will allow that to be zoned as, we need to solidify what we're willing to put there.
We own this property, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
So can't we sell it ourselves?
We can. I mean, we can put it out there. there, but then we have to have someone go, I mean, I guess we don't have to show it, there's no house to show. Yeah, go look at the property and give us an offer. I mean, we could list it ourselves and.
Put snow fence all the way around it so that people know.
Well, what kind of marketing are you gonna do? Who's gonna be in charge of it?
It would have sold already if it would have been viable for us to sell it.
I'm fine with doing that too. We just won't go with a real estate agent at all, we'll use Mark.
But the benefit of having a realtor is
The real question for the city is gonna be, or the village is gonna be, what are you gonna do to help facilitate a transaction? Because as you said already, it would have sold already on your own accord, or it would have sold already with the realtor you had. But I don't think the problem isn't necessarily the land, it's how it can be obtained or what can be done with it. So I think you're right in saying you need to develop a strategy on what's possible there and what you're willing to do to make that happen.
Because if we keep telling everyone no, 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 you can't do that, you can't do that, you can't do that, it's going to sit and we're still going to be eating the money for it. We as a board need to figure out in executive session, because it's an executive session option, what we're going to do with this piece, what we expect this piece of land to be before we.
It sounds like everybody told the neighborhood that it's
single family home.
That's all it's going to be.
Right.
Yeah,
so
that's
pretty easy to discuss and decide right now. That's what it is. I'll let you go back and everything and pull the demo. I know we're not going to do that. But didn't we say that originally? So. And then there was still the confusion of what constitutes a single family home, or the listing made it seem like you could put something other than a single family home.
Listing, but pretty much the board had already agreed a single family home
right.
is what we want in there. And that's, we've even offered incentives to maybe even help somebody put a house in there. We're looking just for an offer on it. Just give us an offer.
What incentives have you offered?
I don't remember us voting on to make that single family.
We didn't really vote on it.
That was the discussion we had.
It can't be made anything other than that unless we rezone it anyways.
That's what the whole discussion was the last time everybody was here, whether we could put a duplex over there or a single family home.
If you wanted to put it, and correct me if I'm wrong, if you want to put a duplex in there, you'd have to go before the planning and zoning board. They would have to say this is, they would have to approve it, and then they'd have to come back to our board to vote on it.
Have we had any interest in anybody?
We've had an interest for a duplex. We've had an interest for
the mobile home.
The mobile home. We've had an interest for a prefab.
So we've had every interest except for a single family.
Yeah, prefab's fine. There's nothing that prevents them from putting a prefab in there.
What I'm saying is we've had offers to put stuff in there, just not a single family home.
Exactly. And there was
we had an offer for a prefab. Why didn't we say yes?
It never actually hit us.
Okay.
They were just inquiring.
Okay.
And
in answer to your question, we had offered a rebate at a certain price. We offered a rebate.
Like a tax rebate?
Mm-hmm. Just like so much money back or something along those lines, or
okay.
buy at this price for the single family home in there. Once you get it done, then the village will kick back, you know, so much back to you.
Will you carry the purchase? Like, instead of taking the money down up front, you carry the purchase until after the development is done, as opposed to doing a rebate?
We would be open to any options right now.
Okay. I mean, I've looked at that a lot.
Yes, sir.
I just think one big point, my recollection is this is selling like in the $30,000 range or something
mm-hmm.
like that. So your real estate commission on that would be $1,800. I think it's your call, but you get a lot of value for $1,800.
Yeah.
It's not just the management issue, but just putting it on MLS listing gets all over that.
MLS would put it in front of over 45,000 people, realtors, and if they all know 200 people, putting it in front of 500 realtors for our market, you know. I don't want to count.
Have you ever been on MLS?
It was.
Yeah, it's set there for a year. And we actually reduced the price. I think we're asking 25 for it. So we reduced the price to 25.
We just reduced the price again.
No, we reduced it to 25.
Right.
And like I said, we're open to options and ideas and whatever. I mean.
Well, I mean, if somebody wants to put a duplex there, we're not. That's what Terrence is saying. We have to say whether we don't or not. Because if we had an offer to put a duplex there and we said no, then that's.
Well, we didn't say no. What my response was, yeah, if you want to put a duplex there, you have to get it through the zoning and planning board and then come back for it.
And then we have to put up with all the people in that neighborhood that are saying single family home, single family home, single family home. So that's what we need to figure out before it gets back on the market, is what are we really wanting there? What are we willing to have there? What has our community said they want to see there? They haven't said, I want to see a park there. They've said, I want to see a house there.
And the park district asked, they offered to take it over too. This is back when we first tore the house down, but they offered to take it over. Which, I mean, I don't know if you want to park that close to the railroad tracks, but.
I think my idea for the dog park is better.
I think that'd be great for a dog park, but then you gotta get paid.
Not for that lot. I'm talking about the railroad property.
Well, no, I'm just saying, do you want to park in the Daggy lot right across from the railroad tracks? I don't know. But, so there's options, and I think single family is pretty much what we all want here. That's what I want there, is a nice little ranch house would be perfect there, or even a little two-story house. You could put a pretty decent house on that property.
It's a good time.
But.
I mean, I can sit down with somebody and later on and just consult on what I think could happen there and what are some ideas that the city could do to help facilitate a transaction.
I'm open.
And I can reach out to a couple of these realtors too and bring contract to the next meeting. So for single family home, starting price $25,000.
Yeah, well, you might talk over with whoever's possibly listing it, and you know, if your goal is to get the stick built primary residence on there, maybe you list it at $30,000 with a $10,000 rebate after they complete building what you want. I mean, you've got a fairly loose financing market compared to 5 or 10 years ago. Plus, money's cheap, so. Some creative idea like that might drive what you're wanting to get done.
And that would make everybody in this room happy if someone bought it. I think everyone in this board would go for that.
I mean,
kick them back, sell it for 30 and kick back 10 to them after they build the
house. Get a construction loan on it. Talk to a couple of the different builders. See if they would take the property and build a home and, you know, do a prefab even. It doesn't have to be.
We would have to approve the building.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a couple of modulars and stuff go up in town recently. Those builders were approved. Approach them first. You know, they do good work.
So when they put it on the main, it's good.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Everybody good? Alright. Anything for the nuisance files?
Nope, we have F.
Oh, I'm sorry. I even marked it too, so I go back to it.
I put an arrow.
Alright, approval of the ordinance 2021-01, annexing of 315 Woodworth Drive in the village. We talked about this at the last meeting, and that's what we put it on here.
your house?
My house. And I mean, it was kind of a what the village going to give me kind of thing. Because right now we're on city water, but we're not on city sewer. And I'm fine with septic, but you know, I've got to maintain it. And does that cost more than paying for city sewer, you know, every month or every year? I don't know what gets charged. I know the trucking company is part of the village, so I would assume that they have sewer.
And I'm pretty sure they have sewer because it comes underneath the railroad tracks off of Austin.
Yeah.
Over behind, close to your parents' house, somewhere around in there.
Yeah. So I'd wanna we talked about that at one point and said it was feasible to provide a tap at least. May not have to necessarily tie in, but I'd like to have it to my property. Also, my wife wants to have that road maintain the children at play signs, have those fixed and the speed limit signs fixed because they're bent and you can't see them. And there's only one children at play sign, so if you come the other direction, there's no children at play, right?
Well, actually, since the speed limit ordinance did pass, that needs to go up to 30 miles an hour on that road because it's marked at 20 now, and there's no ordinance making it 20.
Yeah.
So we need to bring that down to 30.
Go ahead.
But she had the same concern as this gentleman is, you know, enforce the speed limit better because I see the police patrolling that, but I don't. You know, there's no, it would be a huge waste of their time to just sit there and try to give tickets. But we wouldn't mind that once in a while, you know, because semis go blazing through there trying to get to United Prairie. And then people use it as a back road to get to other places, and they're doing 45, 50 on that road. We teach our kids well enough not to go out, you know, we just don't use the front yard for the most part. But we'd like to be able to and trust our kids out there and trust the traffic that's coming around. So she's got a big concern about that. And then, you know, would we then be included in the city pickup for leaf and stick collection? Because right now we're not. And then the big one, which I told her she's not going to get.
You never get if you never ask.
But we're going to ask. And we walk as a family, and it takes a bit for us to get to the rest of the town. You know, we feel a bit isolated, and we like that. But when she's trying to walk into town with the kids, and she recounted a story when we first moved here, had our firstborn infant in the stroller, summertime, 110 degrees. We're not going underneath the viaduct on foot with kids. We just can't. But there was a train crossing, and she was trying to get to Westside Park, or she was trying to get to Uptown where, you know, the subway is, or whatever, you know, just trying to get over there. And so she waited for 30 minutes in the sun, and then had to carry the baby stroller over the tracks, and then went in someone's driveway to get to Austin or whatever that road is. And so in her perfect world, which would benefit the people out in the trailer park as well who ride their bikes into town or walk or whatever mode of transportation outside of car, would be some type of passage under the viaduct, footpath or bike path or something just to get through safely. Yeah.
Problem is there's not enough room.
Right. And that's, I told her that's a big ask. But, I mean, honestly, I would like to see something like that, too, because right now it takes us, with toddlers, it takes us a long time just to get into town, because we got to go all the way back around, or we got to go all the way around this way and then go over two sets of tracks. So if we're trying to get to the library, and that track has trains on it, it doesn't matter if we go over 45 and go back on the back way, we're still going to get caught. So if we're trying to get to that side of town at all, we just can't do it on foot, reasonably, if there's a train. And sometimes they sit there for a while.
They do sit there a long time, like,
yeah.
Yeah,
putting it in there.
No, I don't think it could go in, you know, this year or next, but, you know, if we put it in the 5-year or the 10-year plan to, you know, when that viaduct has to be redone, because the, you know, integrity of the concrete is going in 20 years, you know, I don't know, make it wider.
And the viaduct's not ours, and 45's not ours too.
Right.
So.
And that goes back to my conversation about getting the state to donate those 2 or 3 miles of road to the village so we can use those funds to maintain the road to do that and other things in the village. But that's a different story.
I'm sure putting a viaduct in there is not cheap.
No.
So.
No, but maybe adding a tunnel on the other side. It's already dug out.
So I'm a little confused. In the past, what would happen with the with that board is they would put all their thoughts together with a yay or nay, and this is what we, you know, this is why. Why don't we have anything like that from them?
Well, one, we thought he was in the village. I didn't know if he was out of the
okay.
village, and he can't be on the planning and zoning board if he's not in the village.
Right.
And so that's kind of why. So I kind of pushed this one coming forward. On it to get him back in the village, because I thought all of that Woodward Drive was ours, but apparently not.
On the north side it is.
That's good. Yeah, one side is, the other side's not any in the village at all. In fact, there's actually a house on Austin that's not even ours too. As you go on the other side, right as you go across the tracks, the first house you come to is not even in the village.
So can we still have the
first one's not, where he doesn't live.
So can we still have the zoning board bring to us what they...
We can send it back to the zoning board.
I mean, because that's part of the purpose of that board is to eliminate hours upon hours of discussion on this. They come to us and say, this is what we've looked at, this is what the village will gain, this is what... There was a whole question sheet that they filled out.
Yeah.
And then somebody came to us and said, this is what we got.
So I think that's been done because there's more than
it
one
has
house.
Not been done with this.
Well, we haven't got the paperwork. Yes, it's been done. It hasn't been brought to our board yet.
Okay.
I've got them working on bringing us annexing. There's a whole list of things we gave them to start working on annexing in. So that eventually that is coming forward to us. It's not there yet. It's not. You guys have been working on it. That's why you're having the monthly meetings and stuff. They got a little sidetracked with the downtown business stuff, which is fine. The annexing.
But he's on the zoning board.
He's on the zoning board. He can't be on
not
the zoning board.
Official
not
official.
Not
right.
Well, he was.
Right.
But he can't be unless his property gets zoned
in. I'm consulting for the city.
So, we appointed him to it, and then realized his property wasn't in the village. So, that was my overlook.
Mark, question for you. If this one property on the south side of Woodward would now be annexed in, that gives us the ability, when we want to annex the other properties?
No, you can annex anything that's contiguous to the village if the property owner asks to be annexed. So, and a road doesn't eliminate anything. So,
right.
You have to forcibly annex somebody. You have to surround them, and they need to be less than 60 acres.
Okay. I'm not asking about forcibly though. I was just wondering. Okay.
But that was the right question. Starting down that path.
Right.
Because we need to start down that path because we don't really have any places to build except for our daggy lot, which. So, comments on this?
Well,
you want it to go back to the zoning board and then bring something to us?
Yeah, because it's nothing against you, but I'm not going to vote on something that I don't know what does the village gain. You know, I don't want to get, and this is, I'm just figuratively speaking, I don't want to get into yeah, we'll annex this place in, but then we gotta put sewer in over there, that's gonna cost us a lot of money. You know, we need to.
Well, the further south you go, I mean, the more real that statement is gonna be. So, if you start annexing any direction, you're gonna have to have those conversations eventually.
Yeah, I understand that, but that's what our zoning board is there to do, is to tell us what the benefits are for us annexing, not even your property, any property.
Sure, yeah, I get it.
And eventually, we're gonna have to start taking sewer that way anyway, cause the trailer park's annexed in, and then we have a subdivision on the other side of that. And they've been annexed in the village for ever, I don't even remember when they were annexed in. And eventually, we're gonna have to get sewer out to them.
We gotta do the first step first.
I know, exactly, get sewer plant first. Any other discussion on this?
Well, this was the exact reason why I wanted it.
Taken out.
To be taken out, is because we haven't had this discussion.
I was talking on the other board, I was, got my boards mixed up.
So I didn't want it to be in the consent agenda so that we didn't know what was going on, and so Mr. Ruggieri didn't have expectations that the board did not know about. What you guys may have discussed during a planning and zoning meeting, still, you know, we have to approve it in the long run. So, you know, I wanted to make sure that if we were going to say yes tonight, everyone, this board, there are 4 seats up for election, plus yours. That's 5 people that could change once you're annexed in. And we want to make sure that nothing happens with this, that has happened with some other properties where people said the board said this, but it wasn't in writing. It wasn't in the minutes. It wasn't something that was signed off by the board. So I didn't want you holding the bag, and I didn't want us holding the bag.
Yeah.
I want to make sure that all of us are on the same page, and having that information from the zoning board will definitely help, as Ryan said. So, which I don't think we've even gotten the same thing for the Houston property.
No, we've never really gotten anything from them.
Yeah, which property?
The Houston, that's the
Houston
one over by
Pasco. Over by
the Pasco. Kind of to piggyback on that, I don't ever recall, other than Plackett's emails, about the meeting that's going on Wednesday. Am I wrong on that?
Wade told us about it at the last board meeting.
So essentially, the meeting on Wednesday, correct me if I'm wrong, is the planning and zoning board reached out to all the business owners through downtown. It's just essentially mostly just for the downtown corridor, and invited them to meet at the Township Hall on Wednesday. The planning and zoning board is meeting once a month now on Wednesdays to work on some annexing and some other stuff, a lot of cleanup stuff that they're working on. And part of that is to bring something into downtown. When Wade came and presented, and he asked if we wanted to go, he presented like rural, now the planning,
regional planning
commission,
strategic planning options.
There you go. And then the other company that helped us with our redo our ordinances.
Yes.
So he's looking at those two, and then we sent them out with the, you know, get us some examples and bring back to us. They're going to talk about one of those examples at the next meeting. A town in Iowa, Ohio.
Wilton, Iowa.
And where they came in and revitalized their entire downtown. Similar to us, a little bit different, but some similarities to our village, and where they revitalized the entire downtown. Some options, some ideas, but they wanted the input of all of the current business owners downtown. What do you guys want? What are they looking to do with their buildings and whatnot? So that's primarily what the meeting's for, is to get everybody in one room and talk about where we're going to go from there. So board members are welcome to go to it, but I'm guessing that there's going to be a report from that meeting later on that will come filtered out to our board, or up to meeting is gonna be broadcast or not?
Recorded.
Audio.
Gonna be recorded and then they'll be put on there later on. No, they're going back and forth of whether they're gonna broadcast it or not.
I mean, if I have internet, my thought is I'm just gonna bring my laptop over there, and a speaker so people can hear whoever's on Teams or on the phone.
Okay.
And then a microphone. If we wanna stream video, if the signal's strong enough, we could do that. And
could you send me the call-in information? Because Jim Lopez with Warren Russo Construction is out of town, but said that he would like to attend virtually, however that might be formatted.
It should be in your email.
Okay, great.
And did Vicky get the information too? From the
Arbuffo?
No, for the bank.
I sent it to the Planning Zoning Board, you and Brandy, and then told Wade to forward out to whoever he needs to.
Well, she's, yeah. I think she is retired now, isn't she? I know she's getting ready to. But she's got it. She's gonna present about the downtown that ideas for our lot.
The call-in information is also on the agenda that's posted on the website.
Perfect. Alright.
So I do have a question for the reducing the speed limit. Why does nobody wanna do that?
I'm kind of with Danny, just I don't think every road needs to have it done. Is there roads that probably need to be done for safety? Yeah, I think so.
Overall, does it make enough difference?
And to piggyback on what he says, they're still gonna go 35 or 40 or so. You know, we could put stop signs at every corner too, but that doesn't mean people are gonna stop because they don't stop at 2/3 of our signs we have now, so.
So this ordinance is for all of our streets, correct?
Well,
and
it is.
Carves out the specific park district area, the
downtown
curve area, downtown area.
Speed bumps and roundabouts.
More than roundabouts.
I'll put you in a plow truck and we'll go over one of those speed bumps. And then when they have to remove hemorrhoids because of the bumps, you'll take it out yourself.
We'll go up to Wisconsin and they have roundabouts everywhere. It's driving insane.
In the ordinance, it's not saying all of the streets. So it's A, B, C, D, E, and F. So why wouldn't we want
to? But it still lowers everything to at least to no more than 25.
Yeah,
everything is still 25 except for when it's going to be 12 or 13.
Yeah.
Right.
Which I really think we need, especially the streets that don't even have sidewalks, need to do it out of 25. And if you look at the University of Illinois, their speeds were 30 miles an hour for all their roads, and they reduced them all down to 25. And
I still go 30.
It really reduced accidents.
By buses and they're still hitting.
Mm-hmm. Nobody's been hit by a bus there for a
while. On campus.
Yeah, nobody's on campus, it's true. But it really helped out there a lot. I mean, we were fatalities and we were getting students hit all the time, and it really helped out.
I just don't see it making a difference. And even writing tickets, your tickets can be the same price until you hit 26 miles over, which in that case, you get a ticket no matter what. But I don't see it. They're not deterrents, really. Maybe for that one person, but.
So if you don't see it making a difference one way or another, why not be in favor of it if someone else?
Because then there's also the added cost. Now we got to change every single sign in town.
How much does it cost to change the sign?
Make sure you look at the sign prices.
Signs aren't expensive.
Not very so.
They're like, what, $25 or something like that?
Less than 50.
We actually looked at the sign. We
put labor and hardware in there. It's probably $7,500 with everything combined.
Yeah, but how many speed limit signs can we actually have?
There's not a lot.
Yeah, I'm convinced of that.
And a lot of them need replaced anyway. No, a lot of signs in town need replaced or getting faded. Children at play signs. I don't know when they put those up, but that's been a long time ago.
They're real old.
They're getting old and faded. So. No, it's. And then we do need more enforcing of it. I mean, the next thing the police can do is if someone's silly when you write someone for 1 or 2 miles an hour over.
But that's not the point. It's lowering the speed limit is for the safety of our residents and kids that are walking the streets.
I agree.
If we're giving somebody a ticket for 1 mile over, then yeah, it's justified because driving 31 miles an hour down a residential street is a lot different than 25 miles an hour.
But drop 25 doesn't mean.
Yeah, but
I can't remember anybody ever being hit on not on 45.
Last summer there was a gentleman, but he was mowing on Woodward.
Yeah, he was on Woodward.
But that was,
but
he was
back
mowing
the
ditch bank and fell into the road.
Yeah.
And fell into the sewer.
So what I'm saying is to his point,
yeah,
why would we pull somebody over at 31 when if the speed limit is 25 and they're going 31, that makes a little bit more sense than 1 mile over. I mean, are we going to wait till they're going 35 to give them a ticket? I mean, at what point is it just...
I'm not for every road in town. So.
Well, and that's why we put the ordinance out early, so we could get feedback on it too, and put down the streets that you don't want them to reduce the speed limit on. I mean, this project we've been working on for 4 or 5 months. I mean, how long did you do the speed study, Justin?
A few months.
So I mean, those are things. That's why we discussed it at several board meetings, and that's why the ordinance was put out. For input, and I changed it. I read through the ordinance, and we changed it, some speed limits on some stuff, and kind of did some when it came out a couple weeks ago. Or like, who did you send it to us? A week ago?
Kind of finished project. A couple weeks ago.
Yeah. And then the latest one that came out, I had a little revision on it. I mean, that's why we put them out there, and I love the input, and I'm not disagreeing with you. Every street. Probably not. But especially the streets that don't have sidewalks and they have kids riding bikes down the middle of the street. I mean, they're not lying.
I'm just wondering. It's just my opinion. There's four others on here, so.
And Ping's idea of putting the stop sign in on Austin, that was amazing. And it really worked out when you had the three-way stop right there. That was a lot of years ago because we were talking about people driving too fast down that road and semis and that helped out tremendously. So little ideas like that. I know I don't want to put a stop sign at every single intersection. Take 2 hours to drive through town. And that's why the proposal is reduce the speed limit. I like 25. That's a good number for me. I don't like people driving 35 miles an hour down Austin. I mean, they just fly. And I like the 15 miles an hour because this ordinance also puts 15 miles an hour on the curb on Rocket Road. Actually, it's posted there as a suggestion.
So this ordinance
actually
gives us the ability to change the speed limits.
Yes.
It doesn't state exactly what streets are in there. It just gives us the ability.
This ordinance, if passed, would reduce it to 25. It makes the speed limit 25, and then it goes through and carves out the park district. It makes it 20 on the park district. It makes it 20 or 15 downtown. And then Rocket Road is spelled out. The curve on Rocket Road is spelled out and reducing it to 15.
Yeah,
so it spells out what it's going to be. When you drive through Arthur, the speed limit going through downtown Arthur is 20 miles an hour and strictly enforced. Atwood's the same way. When you go down through their main part of town and strictly enforced. So that's why it was in there. But I mean, if you want to keep it on the agenda for next meeting and put comments and carve out other streets that you want speed limits higher or lower on, I'm
so
happy with that.
Kind of with that, but a little different. Are we still having problems with Austin with trucks flying through there?
No. Reducing it to 20 actually helped out a lot, but occasionally you'll get normally not UP, it's normally the farmer running through there trying to get as many loads as he can. For the most, the UP kind of polices themselves for the most part.
Okay.
And do they run through there when there's not a train on the tracks? Occasionally. But for the most
most part, they try to go over the other, you know, back way.
They're not perfect, except they were plus 4 or 5 years ago.
It's probably a tenth of what it was, or somewhere around there.
Well, I mean, if we have, like farmers that are speeding through town, not hitting stop signs, whatever, all they gotta do is call them and they'll say something.
Yeah.
So we had a couple of issues with that this fall.
They're really good, they're really responsive out there, and they'll have a thought. So, but.
I think the, I say we continue to absorb the speed study content and really keep in mind what we wanna achieve here. It's the, if it's the safety of the village, what is the, what's the best course of action to do that? Is it enforcing our current speed limits more and making a conscious effort to do that, or is it lowering the speed limit? I don't know which works better. I found some of the numbers in that study very interesting. I'm not wholly convinced that lowering the speed limit will stop people from speeding. I think they're gonna probably do what they wanna do. But what do we do to ensure the behavior changes there so that we feel safer as a community? I think we need to probably think about it a little bit more now that we have some more data to look at.
And if you look at our comments, the consistent comment on Facebook is not necessarily the speed, it's the stop signs.
No, it's the enforcement.
The enforcement of the stop signs. It's people complain that nobody stops at any stop signs in town, which is somewhat true. I mean, people don't
stop. So if we keep it at 30 miles an hour and we're going to enforce 30 miles an hour, then we're gonna be prepared to pull anybody over for 31. Whether.
No, it's taking discretion, we all can't, we're not doing that.
The problem is, the reason, a lot of times the reason why you give, you know, they always say 5 miles an hour or 10 miles an hour is what the police give you. A lot of times they give you that grace period of a couple miles an hour over. Everybody's speedometer is not perfect. I mean, they calibrate police officers, the police cars, speedometers, our radars are calibrated, but when's the last time you calibrated the speedometer in your car?
No,
normal people don't calibrate the thing. So a speedometer in a car could be off. There you go. So
that's my point. If we lower it to 25, then it gives us a better justification of pulling somebody over if they go 31. Rather, it's 30. And
I think you missed my point, though. What I'm saying is I'm not against lowering speed limits on some of our streets, but not all of our streets.
So what you're saying is we need to change this to what street specifically.
Yeah, like Benham, I think it should stay 30. My opinion is one of them.
I would be against that. Because, I mean, there's not even houses on one side of the street on half of it.
And that's just one of the examples.
I guess
that
we
I
need
have
to put a list of what streets we would want in here, and then.
So, how about
for what streets we don't want it?
Exactly, what streets we do not want the speed limit reduced on?
Yeah.
And everybody can look. I agree with you on Benham 100%. I mean, Woodwick Drive. I mean, does it need to be 20? I understand why they did it.
Because of the truck.
It is lower because of the truck, but they never passed an ordinance to make it lower. They just slapped the sign up.
No, we passed it when we updated the truck route.
That's true. But before that, they just slapped the sign up.
I just know that the safety of the people that are walking our streets are not feeling safe when they're walking our streets.
I agree. And that's the biggest complaints I get, too, when I'm talking to people. And I walk a lot on the streets. I walked up to the village today, and even in the snow and the ice, people were trying to hit 30 in the snow and the ice. And we had one of our salt trucks got hit on when there was salt. Some guy came flying over the railroad tracks and did not even slow down and slid right on through the intersection, all the way through 45. Luckily, Jeff had got the salt truck almost off the road and he missed our truck.
It was like at 5 o'clock when we started.
I bet.
Even Mike's truck with the blade in, fully loaded, it was sliding.
Yeah, Ryan came in on the bus now.
So I guess
then,
as of right now, we just need more enforcement on the rule that we have now.
Okay, well, we got the police chief here.
I mean, what are your thoughts?
We can increase enforcement.
But then we're gonna be called Homer, and then people aren't gonna come through our town, and they're not going to stop at our businesses, and then we're gonna lose.
Probably close, I mean, calls pending, we would sit at John Deere, and we would write speeding tickets every night, all day, every day. That did not slow people down. I mean, we do what we can, I mean, we are three full-time officers. I typically, you know, it's not like, not most days where I have, well, several hours to sit and I'm gonna sit here and monitor traffic. Normally when I do, I'll get called somewhere, I mean, if that's what the citizens of Toledo and everybody wants is more tickets written and more stops, then on the other hand, that's gonna come with complaints, and I mean, it's just gonna be on the other hand that, you know, we're hard-handed and write people for 1 hour, you know, 1 mile over the speed limit, and you have people upset with that.
Well, I remember when I worked for Toledo, and we get complaints in Deer Path, and they want us to come set out in Deer Path and write stop sign tickets. Everyone I stopped lived in Deer Path. It was the people that were complaining, and they all ran right onto the stop sign.
Is the opposite.
So, it's fine if that's pretty much all the gripes I'm getting is we're not enforcing the stop sign. So
tickets are $164 a piece.
Yeah, when we had a certain officer who's not with us anymore, he went to a little bit bigger jurisdiction. Ryan, when Ryan worked for us, he enforced the stop signs. If you rolled a stop sign, he pulled you over, and if you've already been warned once, he wrote you a ticket. We got complaints like nobody's business.
Well.
And
when we have officers that stop car that write a lot of tickets, then you get a lot of complaints.
Which,
if we see somebody driving recklessly and being obviously in danger, and we do write tickets, we do address the issues. If somebody rolls a stop sign, everybody rolls a stop sign. I can sit in this driveway in my squad car, and 9 out of 10 people will roll that stop sign. We don't have the manpower to stop everybody that rolls a stop sign. Yeah.
But in what Jared's saying, if you start pulling over, they'll start stopping at stop signs. When Ryan worked for us, people stopped at stop signs. In fact, they would come to a jolting stop a lot of times at stop signs.
And I'm not saying that, you know, we gotta pull people over for, you know, the California rule to stop sign. I'm talking about blatantly just blowing the stop
sign.
And
that's
just
blowing right on through.
What we typically, I mean, I'm not saying, but we will stop people that roll a stop sign.
Right.
We will stop people that blow a stop sign. You know, we'll stop people that go 10 over. We'll stop people that go 50 over. I mean, rolling a stop sign or blowing a stop sign on paper is the same. It is not stopping at a stop sign. And we try to be cognizant that if I stop somebody for rolling a stop sign and write them a ticket, that's $164. That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
We try to use the tickets to deter when we can. We try to use the warnings to get the message out. That doesn't cost people $164 every time.
I guess then, I mean, we issue more warnings, I guess. I mean, I don't want to say that we're not going to issue tickets, but...
Well, normally what happens is when they pull somebody over, we have a system in the car so they can type in and say, okay, they pulled Jared over, and he hasn't been pulled over in the last 2 years. Okay, you just kind of rolled the stop sign, we'll write you a warning. But we pull you over, and you were pulled over 2 months ago for the exact same thing, you're getting a ticket. It's normally the decision-making process of the officer. We're not gonna, or if it's a blatant just flying through the stop sign, you're probably gonna get a ticket for that one.
Yeah, there's times when it doesn't matter what
So it's, so they look at those kind of things, and we have a, they have a record system in the car where they can pull it up.
I don't sit in your seat, so I'm not, you know.
So.
I just.
So essentially, what the board's direction is, they want more, I mean, you don't have to write tickets on everything, but they want more enforcement, more traffic stops.
Cause I mean, that's the biggest thing that I've seen, heard, read over the past 2 or 3 years, is the biggest thing we talk about is the look of our town and the speed and the way that people drive through our town. That's the two biggest issues that are brought to our attention, brought to social media's attention, is the way people drive and the way our town looks.
And we are, up until now, have been one full-timer, two part-timers, one full-timer. I mean, we are just within the last week to where we are at three full, so hopefully, I mean, the numbers, and granted, I mean, when it's -3 out and icy and snowy, the traffic stop activity may be a little lower.
Yeah.
But we are out there, we do.
So should the speed, hopefully.
Well, hopefully, and like I said earlier, it does also depend on the amount of calls. I mean, some days, there's not much going on, you can be out there and force traffic. Other days, yesterday, I didn't have anything, then I had three calls, boom, 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 right in a row that, you know, and you have to deal with before you can do other things.
Right.
But we, the not, I mean, they will, the warnings, the citations, they will go up. I mean, if that's the direction that we would like, and we can do that.
So here's my thought on this. I have an 18-year-old daughter. She has taken the rules of the road classes. She has passed all of these classes to get her driver's license. I have a driver's license. We all have driver's license. We all, in getting a state of Illinois driver's license, say that we are going to abide by the traffic laws of the state of Illinois, of which the village of Tolono happens to still reside in the state of Illinois. There should be no surprise if you write a ticket for someone who's breaking the law. That being said, I know that you have discretion, as do any other police officers sitting in this room. You don't always pull over everyone. I get it. I understand it. You and I have had specific discussions about it. The people currently voicing their concerns are saying people are driving too fast. People should get a ticket if they're speeding through a small town. People, we should be enforcing our current speed limits versus necessarily lowering them. All of these are very valid points, as are yours, Ryan's, Jared's, Danny's, and everyone on Facebook. So if they're asking us to enforce more, now you have a little more capacity to do so. And all three of you were hired because we trust your judgment. So if the community's saying enforce more, please enforce more. Because it is the parents of this community who are responsible for training their children. And whether they get a $164 ticket or not is their choice, not yours. You have taken an oath to protect and serve. If they want to live in Tolono, if they want to drive through Tolono, they need to abide by the Tolono speed limits, whatever they may be. I need to. Every one of us needs to. Because $164 is not cheap when people aren't working.
But if they know it could come, maybe they'll slow down.
We're still looking into getting one of those things that.
Those signs, we'll have to put it on
Homer
the next.
Has.
We'll have to put in the next budget.
Sydney, sorry.
We'll have to put in the next budget.
Sydney is actually going to get a second one. It'll be in the next month's agenda.
I've seen it. It's
they're really happy with it.
Yeah. But that'll have to be in the budget for this upcoming year, which we're going to start working on it real soon.
And that could be moved around all over the place.
Yeah.
Not the game, how I can make you.
Exactly.
No.
No. I would never do it.
So here's my take on it. If you guys are wanting to look at lowering the speed limits, keeping the speed limits on some roads, I would urge you all to drive around town on the different roads, drive at 25 and drive at 30, because I didn't pay any attention to my speeds before the full speed study took place. And there's roads, like, I'll just be driving along and I feel like I'm going too fast.
Yeah.
And I look down and I'm only doing 25. But then there's other towns I feel like, or other streets I feel like I'm creeping and I'm doing 25, 30. So, like I said, if you guys want to, like, do some roads and not others, I would actually drive around town and pay attention to your speed as you're doing it.
It's a perception based on how close the houses are to each other. Because down our alley, I told my daughter, you cannot go more than 10 miles an hour down this alley because everybody's so close.
All right, any more discussion on this? We all got homework to do. All right, no updates on nuisance files right now, I don't think.
I haven't received anything from Monarch.
There was a, I'll talk to you afterwards.
The only thing that somebody told me is about a dog that is constantly barking, but I just got it today, so I can send it to Randy.
And you get nuisance dogs, but a lot of times.
But I looked up the ordinance, and I mean, we have an ordinance on excessive
but
dogs being outside and barking all day long.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to be that neighbor.
Did you know it's called Watson?
I had no clue. It's always the alley by Marcus.
Well, I don't know what they do for that. I mean,
well, what people can do is call the police, and then we can go when the dog is in the yard and barking, and then we can take care of it. Because we can, if somebody sends an email about a dog barking, then if we drive by and the dog's not barking, you know, it makes it easier for us to deal with it when it's going
it's
on at that time.
I think it's a constant.
Right, and when they should call, and then we can go, either we will respond, which now most of the time we will have an officer on. If not, they will send a sheriff's deputy to talk to the people, but it's easier for me to go up to the house, knock on the door, and say, your dog's barking. When the dog's barking, as opposed to,
right.
I go on the door and say, hey, you got complaints about this? Well, I never have my dog outside. It's not a problem.
Yeah.
But if we can go up and document that it's going on at the time, then we can talk to them, explain to them what may or may not happen, and then hopefully that will resolve the issue. But we get a lot of complaints, and I'm not saying this is the case in this one, but it can be exaggerated a little bit. Then when we get there and find out that it, you know, it's maybe not that bad, maybe it is. But if the dog's barking and the dog's outside, and I get there and the dog's barking and the dog's outside, then it makes it easier for me to talk to the people and get the point across.
On a constant basis, is what they're. Because I know more now than if they're working from home. And you got a dog barking all day long. I'm just curious.
Yeah, that's all you have to do is call. And we'll respond.
All right.
Well, our next meeting is January 19th. I don't think we have anything for executive session.
Motion to adjourn.
All in favor?
Nope.
Oh, wait, we have someone on video.
Buffo? Wait, do we have to wait on them?
No, we have to wait on you.